Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Crenn, Sheila Highland, episode 31, guys. And we're here at Market District, Settlers Ridge, with Paul Abbott, who is the official guy that runs them all.
Good morning. Good to see you guys.
Good to see
you.
We're having too much fun already. And Larry Langatuda from Enrico Biscotti.
Thank
is it Biscotti or Biscotti in
it
Italian?
Is, it is in Italian, it is Biscotti.
Biscotti.
Right.
On the beautiful Strip District.
Oh, boy, in the Strip District, it's an amalgamation. Biscotti, 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 you know. I'll take them all.
And we're doing this because, Paul, you introduced us their whole concept of local and wherever you can find great products locally, that's what you go for. And that's how did you meet Larry?
So, you know, I actually can't point to a single moment because Enrico Biscotti is such an iconic part of our Strip District. So I've been there as a consumer. Going on and you go into this place that's really cool and I see Larry there. He's the proprietor. He wouldn't have known me. You know, he always took great care of us. And over the years, we eventually started to just strike up some conversations and we got to know each other a little bit better. And with our real commitment to supporting local suppliers, we really discovered, this is a great match, and we're able to solve some of the distribution angles to how do we get it into the stores with reliable distribution, and we could really support it. And it's been a number of years now. I actually can't remember, Larry.
I cannot either. I do recall at one point, Paul came into the store and said, hey, would you consider, you know, selling your product in the Giant Eagle? Mm. My response was, wait, what now?
What?
I was really, really incredible. Yep. Serendipitous.
It was.
It's like being called up to the Yankees.
It really is.
It is.
That's a great analogy.
You're right.
It's, you know.
You're right.
Yeah, whatever.
You're right. It's been a great partnership, and it's just, you know, I couldn't be happier.
That's right. I love when I do our shows here, because, you know, getting to know Paul, genuine about that vibe of, you know, Ben, on how authentic everything is here from like you said, locally grown, fresh quality. It's kind of cool that, you know, it's not just bull crap, it's real.
Yeah,
real
if you read the back of the package on the Enrico Biscotti cranberry pistachio, I noticed no preservatives, no artificial flavors, and no shortcuts. We make every batch and cut every piece by hand using only natural ingredients.
No shortcuts, Larry.
No shortcuts.
Just shortening, but no shortcuts.
Not even
and
shortening.
No shortening, I know.
Is there a history for biscotti? I'm half Italian. Give me some little... Where'd it come from? Why? History. I dip it in my coffee. I love your biscotti, actually.
Well, mine is from my grandmother.
It was grandma's
recipe. So we have people in Calabria, which is southern Italy, and then we have people in Sicily. My last name, Langatuda, I don't think there's anybody in the United States that has this name. But in my hometown, everybody.
Is
so much so that they all have nicknames.
Is that where the nicknames come?
Who's Enrico?
Oh, my father. Enrico,
that's me, too.
That's you, too.
Yeah, that's me, too. That's another crazy long story.
Yeah.
I got a nickname, so it's Enrico. There you go.
My father-in-law, all his friends had nicknames.
Yeah.
I never actually knew most of their real names.
Right. That's really true. With big Italian families, right.
All right, so what's the history of Biscotti?
in general, this was a really, it was a dry product that Rome made and gave to the laborers and the soldiers so that they could carry it along with. Once the influence from the spice road influenced Rome, then they started putting things in there, little spices and flavorings, cinnamons and nutmegs and nuts, just to kind of keep the guys from being hangry. Do you know?
Killing each other.
Right. And it varies all over the country. Northern Italian biscotti is very hard, very dry, very small. The stuff that you have to dunk in coffee or else you can't eat it. Southern Italian biscotti is more cookie-like.
Yeah.
You can just take one out of the bag, eat it.
Huh.
Different.
So it's basically dry. It's bread in a way, I guess, or whatever. Is that, what is made out
of? No, I wouldn't call it bread. I would call it more of a confection, more of a cookie. Okay. Than anything else.
What is it that makes it so hard, the substance?
Biscotti, literally in Italian, means twice cooked.
Oh. Okay.
Be twice cotto cooked. So we bake the product, we take it out of the oven, we cut it, we bake it again.
Mm.
Take all the moisture out of it. This is why the shelf life is like 6 months. People come into the store and they'll be like, how do I keep this for a long time? Put it on top of the refrigerator where you can't reach it. It'll keep for a long time.
Going back to your grandma, you said this was grandma's recipe. This is a really fascinating story.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. Go back in time.
Well, she, boy.
Now, was she from the Sicily side or she was from the Calabria
side? She was from the Calabria side. She was a powerhouse. Her her second husband actually had a produce store down on the strip, down on the platform in the old days. She was awesome. I had an older brother who's 5 years older than me. All the kids in the neighborhood were 5 years older than I was. So they would go out and play baseball and give me the radio. I got to hold the radio because they were 10, I was 5. You know, I got to, you know, be the water boy.
Right.
And when I would whine at my mother and my grandmother, they'd be like, come on, come inside. So I would go into the kitchen and I would cook with them, bake with them, do everything with them. Huh. And I learned how to do it from them. That's where I got my chops, if you will.
God works in mysterious ways.
But
man,
when did you decide, I'm going to try to make this a business?
Boy. So Paul and I have a mutual friend down on the strip, Sam Patty from La Prima Espresso.
That's my teacher.
Literally.
North Catholic.
Oh, no kidding.
Are you serious?
Wow.
Strip district boy. North
it's Pittsburgh,
side,
man.
My home, south side.
He's a native. He was born in the strip.
Great Pittsburgh. Teacher. See, this is the thing about Pittsburgh. It's not just... It's like a dining room table. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
Yeah,
anyway,
Catholic
Sam had La Prima, and he was getting biscotti from a little company in St. Louis, Missouri, on the Mississippi River. They had a fire, and the bakery burned up. And Sam said, you know, gee, I don't know what I'm going to do. He just opened the store. This is like 35 years ago, 40 years ago. What am I going to do? I was an account executive at AT&T at the time, having a coffee. I said, Sam, anybody can make biscotti. I mean, even I can make biscotti. He said, really? Would you do that? I said, sure, I'll do it. So I made a batch, my grandmother's anise almond biscotti, brought it down to the store in a big ceramic bowl, and I had a great friend of mine who was a baker, Antonio Branduzzi, passed away years ago. I love him. He wrote a little... Sam wanted to pay me. I wouldn't take any money. He wrote a little sign, and he put it on the bowl. It said, Un regalo da Enrico. A gift from Enrico. That's where it started.
Oh, man, that's
crazy.
That's actually really cool.
It's
really
crazy.
It really is cool.
Yeah, it was crazy.
How much did meeting Paul change your scope when they said, we'd like to carry your biscotti?
Yeah. Well, it really changed everything. I mean, this move to... We were a strip district bakery.
Right.
We were the local bakery. When this all happened, we became then a regional player. It also afforded us opportunities to partner with other suppliers. And now you can find our product from upstate New York to downtown Chicago.
It really has been
spectacular.
It's your fault.
It's really true.
It's a great story just generally around Enrico Biscotti. But the one thing that I think this illustrates, and we've been touched on it already, behind all these amazing food products is real people and real stories, and that's their real connection that makes this stuff so interesting and makes people passionate and genuine. Yeah. And that's a great story all around.
But
so we're happy to help.
That you're able to, in this case, like Larry, he's being very genuine on, you know, the lift that would be for you know, a single bakery in this case, to be able to share that with so many people. That's the whole idea, right? That's the beauty of dinner, is right. to be able to share great food and conversation.
That's right.
I would go further and say that just like dinner, this heavy lift also came with, you know, some challenges. I mean, you have to
right. scale up.
You have to go from, you know, right. Enrico in the back making 50 pounds of product every day
to
now we make about 2,000 pounds of product every day.
Every day?
This is when it's slow. And when it gets busy at Christmas time and Easter time, it's just, you know, we'll double that.
Wow.
But that comes with a lot of heavy lifting. And you really need to know how to do that. And I would further suggest that people like Paul have been instrumental. So you can go to somebody like Paul and go, you know, I'm having a real trouble, I don't know, whatever it is, finding 150,000 brown paper bags. Do you,
right.
do you know who I could call?
Do you know a guy?
Do you know a guy?
right.
And Paul's been real, I know a guy.
And you've got to keep the product pure and the same, too, even when
Correct.
You scale up.
Yeah, every piece has to look the same, taste the same, be the same. And it has to taste like my grandmother's.
Wait, didn't you have to work to get the recipe exactly as your grandmother had it?
Oh, sure.
Tell us about that. Because, you know, Italian grandmothers especially are famous for leaving out an ingredient or two because they don't want anybody to know their recipes.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right.
Ah.
Down at the bakery, we haven't done it since COVID, but what we used to do is we would bring little old Italian women into the store. These are women who have a spectacular recipe.
Right.
That their children love. They want the recipe. The mothers either don't remember or couldn't write it down. Mm-hmm. And I found that 30 years ago when I started this, those little Italian grandmothers, a lot of them were illiterate. I mean, when they grew up in Italy, they were girls. Who cares if a girl could read? She's a girl, you know? So I had these women who would come in and I would say, you know, how much of this and how much of that? This much, just to make it sweet. Well, you know what that means. So we would go through those processes, and then when we made the biscotti, we certainly made them, gave them to everybody in my family. They were so sick of me. Here, try this. You like this? Well, it's not the same. Oh, I don't know. Okay, we'll try it again. You know, here, try this. I mean, how many Anna's almond biscotti can I eat, for Christ's sake? Do you know? We did. You know, and it all kind of worked out. I think she would be amazed. I hope she would be proud. That now we do 32 different flavors.
32 different. I was just going to ask you, how many different varieties?
Yeah, 32 different varieties. And, you know, things as crazy as black pepper walnut to the salted caramel, which are spectacular.
Oh, what's the best seller?
Oh, boy. I'd have to say it's like salted caramel, macadamia nut white chocolate.
Yeah, we all like the sweet stuff. Right.
But we also do a lot of fig pecan, which I thought would be a real... it's one of my...
That's my favorite.
Yeah, it sounds
good. People dig them.
Have you ever seen Stanley Tucci, the actor's show, where he goes to different regions in Italy? And what I like about that show is he gives you the historical background of the food, too. Like, to your point, who would have ever thought biscotti was for to keep soldiers, you know, from getting hangry? That's right there. That's the whole description.
It's funny what you said. The generation, those women, like your grandmother, made me think of my grandmother. My grandmother maybe had 2 years of formal education. I swear to God, she's the most brilliant woman I've ever known.
Right.
Really. Just brilliant. But that was the way it was.
That's the way it was.
Society was.
Exactly right.
These brilliant women, but they, you know, channeled different ways. They, you know, they said cooking and
great chefs
or whatever.
An Italian grandmother with her boy making a biscotti, she's going to be loving this boy.
I'd like to think that. You were talking about Stanley Tucci. I had my knee replaced like 3 weeks ago, so I'm recovering, right? Somebody gave me his book. I've seen the show on CNN, and I read the book. And I think to myself, well, I am also writing a book, a cookbook. We're going to give all the recipes away this year.
Mm-hmm. Are
you? It's time. I'm 64 years old. It's time. So I'm going to tell the story of where they came from and then the recipe. That's thing number one. Thing number two is, so you guys get around in the celebrity circuit here, right? If you ever meet Stanley Tucci, you tell him I'm so mad at him. Because I think he took my story, man. He was telling the story.
He even has the same haircut.
I'm telling you, man. He was telling the story about what his father packed him for lunch.
Right.
My father would pack stuffed pork chops, which are two pork chops.
Sounds really good,
with
actually.
Stuffing on two pieces of bread.
Yeah, but when you're a kid, though, you want peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Exactly.
You don't appreciate it.
We didn't appreciate it. We were trading them away to Tommy Lamb for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Because it was white bread, which is really what we wanted. He tells exactly the same story in the book. I'm like, oh, you.
That's funny, man. That's funny.
That's so pure. Now I'm curious, when you're down in the strip like in the old days, in the original days before you expanded, when people still come down, they like to just hang out. What are people talking about right now? Because you keep your ear, you're almost like a barber shop in the sense that people come and they kind of spill their guts.
They do. I've had the great opportunity over the last 30 years to, when I first opened, I could speak Italian every day for maybe, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes just from the people who came in. Now it's on a very rare occasion I get the opportunity to do that. Things have changed. What I hear about in the Strip more and more is how the Strip is changing, this great metamorphosis that's going on in the Strip, and whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And it's split 50-50, do you know? I don't know where I stand on it some days. Some days I'm like, this is awesome. Some days I'm like, ay, Madonna, this is crazy.
I remember doing an interview 25 years ago when Metropole and different places were coming in, they were talking about with the Strip. And I don't know, I didn't know, but fortunately, looking back, I think it's a nice job, I think, of modern and kept our traditional families. Pittsburgh's been pretty good like that, I think. I'm proud of what happened with the Strip.
Let's be honest.
There's guys like Paul support that. Like, you're doing with this. This is important stuff.
That's right. The Strip isn't the same since you moved.
It's gotten way better. Jimmy. Rents are way higher than when I was there.
That's true.
We couldn't afford to live in those new places.
That's true.
Yeah, it's spectacular. Oh, yeah. Well, when's the book? I mean, what's the game plan?
The game plan is Thanksgiving 2022.
So that's coming up. We got to have you back when your book's ready.
I love it.
Larry Lagattuta, the man behind Enrico Biscotti.
Thanks.
Grazie.
Lei. Grazie. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Paul, fun. You're going to stick around. We're getting Chef Ben out next.
Absolutely. We got some great food coming out for you.
Yeah, Larry, that's really cool because you've got a tremendous personality. Stanley Tucci stole Larry's show.
I can't believe he did that to you, Larry.
So mad at him.
Larry Richards, Unfiltered with Jim Crenn and Sheila Hyland, episode 31 from Market District, Settlers Ridge. Larry Richard, Unfiltered with Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 31, emanating from Market District, Settlers Ridge out here in Robinson. This is our third visit, guys.
Chef Ben does not disappoint, man.
Chef Ben D'Amico has joined us along with Paul Abbott. And, Paul, we can't thank you enough for introducing us to Chef Ben.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I got to buy a new wardrobe. I'm 10 pounds up.
So, for the podcast side where you can't see what the chef has just displayed, give us an idea because there's a theory behind what you presented us.
Absolutely. So, Paul and I discussed having some foods that you can kind of take home today or make quick and easy, elevated foods using some really quality ingredients. We kind of ran the gambit here. We have some very classic combinations and some of my and Paul's favorites that we wanted to introduce.
This olive looks simple, but yeah, it's got some of the most unique tastes in there, like orange or something.
So that is a roasted olive. So it's a couple. Divina is the brand of olives. There's Kalamata, Castelvetrano, and a Greek in there. And what I did is roast it with some fennel, a good olive oil, and orange peel, and a little rosemary. So it's just taking your basic olives. You can do this with black olives, green olives, anything, and you're just kind of elevating it by tossing in a couple extra flavors.
So is that what you mean? When you say elevated, what's the official chef definition?
You're just kind of taking something that's very common, that might be great on its own, and you're doing a little twist to it, and you're just enhancing the flavors. So we turn something that you would just eat out of a jar. Right. Again, I love eating olives just out of a jar, especially after a long day.
I never thought of them.
But here, that turns it into more of a fancier kind of maybe something you'd see at a restaurant or something you'd have at like a banquet. But it's just common ingredients.
It is, and the buffalo mozzarella you have is amazing.
Burrata. So burrata mozzarella, it's a encased mozzarella, fresh, and it's creamy on the inside and firm on the outside. And this is one of my favorites to do for holidays. Just a burrata, a really good olive oil, salt, and pepper, and call it a day.
That's all
you need. Yeah, just spread it on a baguette, on a cracker.
Just eat it alone.
And I did a spicy version, which has a little bit of roasted red peppers, capers, and tomatoes in there with, again, olive oil, salt, and pepper. But just something that is spicy, so just be careful. That's on
there. Larry, you had the sandwich. We've been talking about Sheila, and I've been going nuts over the sandwich with the jam in there, whatever.
This little bread.
Really flavorful.
Little sandwich.
Yes.
Yeah. And,
oh, my gosh.
So before we move from burrata, what's the difference between burrata and, because it looks like buffalo mozzarella.
Paul? So, I'll take it, Chef.
Yep.
Mozzarella is really the quintessential fresh version of cheese. Not an age. It can be aged, but typically it's meant to be very fresh. Burrata is actually filled with fresh cream.
Oh.
So you get the fresh on top of the fresh, if you will. So you get the textural differences, and then that center will just be very fresh, dairy, lactic, creamy, delicious. That kind of goes with that natural stretchiness of the outside. So it's basically a filled stuffed mozzarella.
It's like you said, it's like a spread, though.
Easy. You get the ooze factor when you cut into it. So you know, think about pressing that elevated thing. You get the ooze factor. It looks great, spreadable on baguette or bread or crackers. It's wonderful.
I see you've elevated bagels.
So that's one of my personal favorites. So that is an ultimate kind of New York style bagel sandwich. So it's a fresh everything bagel, high quality smoked salmon, cream cheese, and then you got the traditional red onion, capers, dill, and tomatoes that you find on a sandwich. But the secret here is a little bit of whitefish spread at the bottom. So whitefish, salty, little fishy, that kind of rebalances everything else there. So it's kind of fish on fish with all those traditional tones.
Right.
So that's just one of my favorite ways to kind of have salmon is on a bagel, just like they have all over New York.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got, is it prosciutto or prosciutto?
So,
what's the correct pronunciation?
It depends on how Italian you are.
Larry's
I'm not very good.
Larry Lagatuda from Enrico Biscotti, he speaks fluent Italian. I love the way he enunciates and expresses himself. So, yeah, prosciutto
is, I think, classical, and I think different dialects will drop that vowel at the end. So I think it's where you're from is where is right.
It's like the capricola and the gabagool, or the, you know how they kind of take it with add a G versus it's one of those. So there is the kind of in the middle is the classic presentation of fresh melon, this being cantaloupe, with actually serrano ham on this. So we do have prosciutto, but this is serrano ham. Prosciutto, serrano can be interchangeable. This one I found a little stiffer, a little more on the salty side potentially.
Okay.
But this is really your classic pairing of two ingredients that really work well together.
Interesting.
So you got the sweet and the salty.
This is the ham.
Yes, it's a very thinly shaped ham.
Yeah, they all over Europe, actually, cured hams are very traditional. And prosciutto is the most famous, you know, when people hear of it, you think about prosciutto di Parma. This would be the Spanish equivalent to it. So that Serrano comes from Spain. You'll get a little bit of different breeds in terms of the pigs because it goes back to history. And then the manner of actually the way they cut and the way they actually age. So the chef already said this, but Serrano tends to be a little bit on the dry, dense side, a little bit more salinity than a prosciutto di Parma, which most people.
You know what I learned last time at Market District, guys?
Yeah.
We were here before Easter, actually on Good Friday, for my radio show. And Paul and his team taught us that ham, because somebody asked, why ham for Easter?
Right.
And it's because, to your point, that it was cured and it would keep longer.
That's right.
And so at the end of the winter into the spring, it would be the meat that was available.
That's right.
Now we've turned it into chocolate bunnies and other stuff too.
You know, a lot of iconic and classical foods really are about survival. It's preservation in a world where you don't have refrigeration. So even olives, you know, which is a fresh fruit, has to be cured to make the longevity. And that's the origin of olives, with that sort of briny nature that goes from being a fresh fruit to something that can store a long time.
We were talking off the air before we started about. Remember in those days with refrigerations that Larry said his grandmother had the chicken or turkey under her dress, bringing it into town.
That's right,
He'd be talking, you know, that's the way it was.
That's right.
They'd make their own, you know.
That's right.
Pretty amazing.
And what's next to the ham?
So next to the ham, this is actually one of Paul's, Paul's favorite. So
really, Paul?
I'm going to let him take and describe this one.
Taking something that's very ordinary and approachable and elevating it. So this is... again, Spanish style ventresca tuna. So it's a canned tuna, but it's comes from Spain. It's a belly cut albacore, so it has a silky, rich fat content to it. So when you taste this tuna compared to what you might be used to in a typical in a can, it's an eye-opening experience of how good something like canned tuna can be. Where? And then you just prepare it with a piquillo pepper, which again is classical Spanish tapas food, on a beautiful slice of baguette. Caper and olive oil, I think, is the anything else I missed in your
preparation? It's just a little garnish of a microgreen, a little bit of a beet, just to give it some color.
What is this? Where can I get this? I can get it here.
It's called Ventresca, which is the style of tuna. And Ortiz is the brand.
It's a red box. Right, it's on the top shelf with the rest of the tuna.
All right,
but it's one of those.
It's like who knew canned tuna could be so good?
I'm telling you.
And whatever you do, Larry, you have to. Jimmy, you have to promise one thing. Do not put mayonnaise on that tuna when you get it home.
All right, come on. I can't promise that. I love mayonnaise.
That's meant to be joyed on set.
You know who's really envious right now? Marcello. He's over there. Don't worry, we'll save you some, we promise.
Well, we might.
Marcello's our man behind the camera. We want to thank A Face for Radio Productions, Jim Patulski, who's been our guy since the beginning and does amazing work. Jimmy, he's fasting today, so.
Oh, really?
More Jimmy for
on a
us.
Fast. Okay. Good okay. day for fast.
You Jimmy. Know what, Jim? It's horrible. Jimmy, you wouldn't like it. You're not missing out. Promise.
It's not a religious thing. Break the fast.
Okay, now that he's not listening. Ooh, this is good.
So we move from the tuna to something that looks pretty simple. It's just
strawberry.
Cut up strawberries. How is that elevated?
So this is kind of a three-part of tasting we're going to run into now, which is we're going to use strawberries, Parmigiano Reggiano, and gelato. And we're going to pair them with a really super high quality, actually, Paul, you would call it the best in the world, balsamic vinegar.
Yeah, so this is this comes from Emilia-Romagna region, northern Italy, specifically Modena. And it's a PGI certified, protected geographic indication quality product. Very dense, very balanced acidity, not harsh at all. And again, this is one you would use in this exact way, condiment style, right on, and not as a marinade, those kind of things. You can drink this stuff. It's
really?
So delicious. It has a natural sweetness, balanced with the acidity, very depth of flavor. And it gets high percentage of concentrated cooked grape must, which is the residual after pressing grapes for winemaking. You end up with the skins and the seeds and the parts, and then they cook that out to extract this concentrated liquid, and then gets barrel aged, and then just all it is grape must and grape content in time in a barrel. And that's where you get this amazing quality. So this is just three different ways to kind of showcase something vinegar and a remarkably simple idea, and how it can actually be elevated with very ordinary things.
Have any of you, either of you two, seen balsamic covered on strawberries and cheese, as Chef has done, and on the gelato we have in front of us?
I've
not. I clearly am not getting around enough.
Paul's right. There's a difference with the balsamic. It's amazing. It's like wine. There's so many different styles of it.
Yep.
This one is actually a great, like you said, pairing for it. For whatever reason, is it because of the sweetness?
Yeah, you get the sweetness from the berry, and then you'll get the acidity and sort of that depth of flavor that comes from the aging.
But it's not too much acidity.
It's still inherently sweet, but it's balanced with acid. It's just like perfection of simplicity.
Amazing, it is.
Now you have, what kind of cheese is this?
Parmigiano Reggiano, imported from Italy. Just the cheese that you usually see on spaghetti.
Yeah.
Just hunked off and drizzled with the. The balsamic.
And this cheese also, on purpose, but also oddly enough, comes from the exact same region. So they're both from Emilia-Romagna. Some people call it the gastronomic capital of northern Italy. It's centered around the town of Parma in the countryside. That's where it's always produced, and it's sometimes referred to as the king of Italian hard style cheeses. So,
and you know what goes best with that? This kind of cheese. Is a really bold red wine.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I'm missing a Cabernet at this very moment.
Which they do sell here at Market District.
Yes, we do.
Thank goodness.
So balsamic can be used on anything.
That's right.
Yes, basically. It's just an enhancement. Again, typical, we have the strawberries, the white, and the red. And just saying,
even
this is just...
Cream.
Yeah, ice cream. So the gelato. Just you take a very simple vanilla bean gelato, you top with a balsamic, and it changes the dimension of it.
Remember Bobby Gelato when we went to,
yes, I do.
Jimmy and I went to Italy with Donnie Iris
and
Bruno Sammartino, I think we told you. And people said that hadn't been there, what's it like over there? We said, well, except for the people, the history, the culture, the food, and the wine, I wouldn't go there. It was everything I hoped it would be and more. Because it seems like, and especially as I learned to travel the regions, the food changes, the wine changes,
very
because of
so.
The climate changes.
Yep.
And some of the history of that. So this is really good. Now, you have these peppers.
Yes.
What are these peppers? Because my wife just started making them. I didn't think I'd like them, but I love them.
So this is one of the simple of simplest. These are shishito peppers.
And you don't have to swear at a chef.
All they are there's peppers sautéed in a little olive oil and
a
little salt. So one out of like every 20 tends to be hot.
But so it's kind like of a powerball.
So it's a bit of a gamble.
They're not that hot, though. It's just you might get a little bit of spice. Yeah.
Very much.
It's... Sheila has this face like, am I going to be okay? Sheila, you're going to be fine.
We should put together a trip. Paul Bett and go. We should go to Italy.
We should. We could go to Italy.
Count me in.
Forget about like Stanley Tucci. We'll take Larry Lagatuta, Paul Abbott, Chef D'Amico.
You know what? We talk a lot about going places.
We did
and
a few years ago.
We haven't yet.
Larry and I are going to do it. We're going to put it together.
We still haven't made it to Florida yet.
Florida first, then Italy.
Okay.
One step at a time.
I'm in. You right? don't have to ask
you,
me twice.
You've been to Italy.
I've been to Italy three times. All three times were actually for work, to go source and learn about the amazing food that's produced there.
My dream job. Oh, God, I've got to go to Vegas. Go to Italy.
That's the time when Paul tries to act like, oh, it's so much work.
Yes. Killing me.
Yeah, that's true. Last time we talked to you, I think you were headed to Vegas or had just come back from Vegas.
Yeah, that's right. We were attending some trade shows, looking for, in that case, innovation and new products.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It's a pretty good job.
What'd you discover? Anything cool that's coming our way?
Yeah, we have a lot of, in terms of like trends and innovation, we're continuing to see plant-based as a huge area of growth. So more and more companies coming out with plant-based options. I know Chef in the culinary team are working with some of them to see how we can bring those to life in our prepared foods department to have some vegetarian options.
Yeah, we just rolled some out. We rolled out a plant-based meatball, right. A falafel, and a plant-based meatloaf. And actually tomorrow, part of the team is looking at another vendor with plant-based. So.
And as a plant-based eater, let me just say I'm very thrilled. No, I did try some of the meat and the cheese here, but typically stick to like, plant-based, and there's so many more options now.
You mean like impossible meat and like that kind of
stuff? Yeah, or extensions of similar or related products.
So more companies are coming out with beyond and impossible. Yes. They're all different now.
Yes.
Well, and I look at that almost two ways. Is there's the beyond and the impossible, the more engineered, I'll call it, meats.
Right.
And then there's like the whole just taking a vegetable or a grain and turning into something different. So I look at it as almost two sides of the spectrum, and we're trying to hit both of those. So not just offering just the impossible or the beyond, but also maybe just some traditional. A lot of foods are traditionally vegetarian or plant-based, and bringing those back to life.
And some people aren't. They don't classify themselves as vegetarian, but maybe for health reasons and other considerations, would choose those other options if they felt it was, you know, from a culinary standpoint, taste is good.
That's right. And the term that gets thrown around now is flexitarian. It's somebody who kind of dabbles in different ways of eating, but it's a more conscious. They choose fewer meat-containing meals throughout the week, but they're not exclusively vegetarian.
You a flexitarian?
I'm now yes, that defines me.
Let me see your flex. I'm a flex your muscles.
We've discovered our inner flexitarianism. We're with Chef D'Amico, Paul Abbott here at Market District Settlers Ridge. We'll wrap things up. I want to ask you about catering, too.
You got it.
In just a moment, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 31. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 31 from Market District Settlers Ridge in Robinson. We're with Chef D'Amico and Paul Abbott, who is the overseer of all things Market District. And we always eat well when we come to Market District, thanks to you gentlemen. Two, we always learn something about food.
Rather incredible.
And we've discovered something really significant, and I'm going to mark this episode as a big deal. We found out Jimmy Krenn is a flexitarian.
Yes, I am. Yes, yeah, I am.
And you're proud of it.
I really am. And I love doing the show here. And we've done several. And Paul and Ben, we're going to reveal our secret. I eat so much here during the show that they actually have a little bed in the back. I take a nap right after the show.
I think. Yeah, we didn't even get the food to the table in Jim's. So, give me some of that. Put it over here. So you notice, actually, I mean, if you're listening to the podcast, mm-hmm. you can't see this, but most of the food is directed toward Jimmy.
It's even aimed that way.
Yes, it is. Well, actually, it's aimed so toward me. But.
We had all these elevated food samples, all of which are good. I especially like the peppers with the little sea salt on top with the olive oil.
Shishito,
I mean, it just
peppers.
Adds, it
but
just
all
adds
simple.
Something.
Like,
right.
Stomach,
here's a, I'm going to reveal something that I, last time I was here, Paul, I talked to up at your school, the woman behind the cooking classes.
Oh, Chef Janice.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And she said, I have an idea for a Mother's Day gift for me to give my wife. Because my wife's always saying, I just wish once you would cook, and I would just enjoy that so much. And cool. I keep saying, I will. How would you like your oatmeal? And I think she wants something elevated.
You
chef.
Know what? You take that oatmeal, you add some balsamic onto it.
There you go.
That's
balsamic is the answer
yeah,
to everything.
This, I'm going to have a case of that before I leave here.
Villa Manadori Balsamico. This
go
is spectacular.
It's phenomenal.
It really is awesome. Yeah.
So anyway, Chef Janice said, why don't you give her the gift, buy some cooking classes, and you can come together, and then we'll teach you how to make something, and then you will have to make that. I think that's a cool idea.
Okay, that's a great idea.
Wait a minute. It's kind of a great idea. I'm just saying, though.
What?
She probably really wants you to...
Actually cook.
Cook. Not wait. Not no, have you both cook. And learn something and then you can cook. I think you need to back it up a little bit.
Don't ruin it.
And you got to do the dishes too.
Look, if you put out the pretty spread much. You have here today from Chef Ben, she would be so thrilled. And look, that isn't that difficult.
No. It's doable even for someone like me. Now, we didn't get to the gelato, which is another Italian dessert. It's people consider it like it's like an ice cream, but it's not ice cream.
It's a creamier, has a higher milk fat to it, so it is a creamier, more dense, also more packs a lot more flavor per spoonful, I'll call it. And this is just a vanilla bean gelato.
A little less air whipped into it, too, typically. So when you're making ice cream, you basically turn it to add air, which is why it's not frozen like an iceberg when you get it out.
So it's
Italian ice cream, but Ben's hit it on the head. A little more dense, a little more flavor.
Balsamic drizzled on
top. Paul, I looked over and said, did you guys try the gelato? Sheila's glass is so clean, it looked like it came out of the...
I was hoping nobody noticed I licked it.
Once again,
the KitchenAid.
Get gelato, get some balsamic, I'm in. There you go.
I'll tell you guys a quick funny story. We were in a place in Italy with this very distinguished gentleman. We called him, he looked like a professor, you know. Bob Caldwell is his name. And he came on the trip because we had this spectacular opportunity. And we went to get some gelato. Now, the temperature, remember, was in excess of 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So we were all packing in this gelato place. And this guy, this Italian young man who was dishing out the gelato, all he wanted, our guy, was a little gelato. Well, a guy brought out like a big bowl and kept loading them up. So when he came over to the table, he was embarrassed. He goes, I don't know what happened. I didn't know how to tell him no. And so... His nickname from then to the rest of the trip, they called him Bobby Gelato. And so everywhere we went, we would say, don't mess with Bobby Gelato because you don't want to do that.
No.
So anyway, catering options for Market District.
That's right. Chef Ben's actually been instrumental in really building out a very impressive catering business, right? So when you think about a supermarket, you think about you come in, you buy fruits and vegetables and things to make. And we've built a really impressive catering operations so that we can really help you pull off any event from a business lunch meeting or a breakfast meeting all the way up to a graduation party or, you know, even a wedding or some other event of that nature. But it's really around how do we provide great food that's really at the base of what we do every day, and solve and make life easier for our guests. And that's what we do with our catering business too. So, Chef, you can probably speak to some of the detail around the work.
I've been involved with catering at Market District for 13 years, almost my entire time here. And we have grown it and evolved it from just, again, Giant Eagle and Market District are famous for fried chicken. It's one of our big signature things. And we're more than that. We do more. Again, graduation season's upon us. We're going to sell tons and tons of chicken. Mm-hmm. But we also do a lot of deli trays. And that's very traditional in grocery. But we do a lot of sides. And we do a lot of custom stuff that we have guests come up and ask us for. And we have great chefs in the stores that kind of help to work with some of those guests and make that experience come to life. But, yeah, to Paul's point, we do everything from five people to 500. We kind of cater. We try to consider ourselves one of the better pick-up and drop-off deliveries. So we're not the full service, you know, that you go in. But you want the food, we'll get it to you on time. You come and pick it up. And we have a wide range of options. I think our menu is over around 200 items that we offer that run the full spectrum of the grocery store. And that's something I'm very proud that we offer. We have great teams. You can come in. You can go online at order.giantingle.com and place your order. You can come in. You can call. We have teams in every market district that'll help you walk you through the menu. Or, hey, I've never planned a party before. What do I do? Well, how many people do you have? They'll walk you through the entire experience and make sure you have everything from ice to plates to great food.
How much food do you order? That's always a big question. I'm having 50 people. How much do I need?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
We have the folks that'll help you guide through those decisions. Because inevitably, you either fall short or you have you're eating potato salad for 2 weeks.
That's your whole party. Is like if you had a banquet party, whatever group, you have this, everyone comes. This works, even if it's a work thing, just goes better.
That's right. That's right.
Like well, this. We can't thank you enough, Paul, for everything you've done for us and introducing us to, again, Chef Ben D'Amico and all of your team here at Market District Settlers Ridge in Robinson. Do you mind if we come back sometime in the future?
I would enjoy it if you did. And the sooner the better for me. We love having you guys here, and it's always fun to share our expertise with you guys, and we're proud to have you here with us.
And we want to thank Dick Roberts, our producer, who has many hats. He's such a talent. And from No Face for Radio Productions, let's all look over at Jim because he's focused on the meters. Jim Patulski, thank you, Jim. No Face for Radio.
Face for radio.
That's right. If you have no face for radio, you got real problems, right, Jimmy? Face for radio. And Marcello, let's hear it for Marcello. Marcello, you hungry?
He's just staring at this food.
You got a munch, And you can download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY, or go to kdkradio.com. Check out our podcast, Larry Richard Unfiltered, with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 31. And as they say in Italian, arrivederci. Ciao.
Ciao.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.